Church, and I have the absolute honor of introducing our special guest speaker this morning. We have Frank Hackett with us. He is a pastor of a Lifelinks Church Connect in Cranbrook, BC, but he is also part of the apostolic team for the Lifelinks Network. And he traveled here this weekend to speak at our Rise conference, and it was an absolutely incredible time. I am so grateful for what you poured into our next generations, Frank, and I know there was huge changes in people's lives this weekend, and I know he has a fantastic message for you this morning as well. And last night, Frank actually had a little bit where he said, turn to the person next to you and say, this speaker's a little weird. And I just heard probably about 8 kids over this. I go, this speaker's really weird. So I don't know. I think given your message, that's actually a big compliment. So please can we give a huge welcome to Frank.
Wow. Thank you. Wow, what an honor it is to be here among family. I am so thankful. I look around this room and I see so many faces that have encouraged us and impacted us over the years. And I also see so many faces that are doing such tremendous, fantastic things for the kingdom. It is an absolute honor to be here. I want to give a quick shout out to Linda and Dave. Man, thank you guys for all that you poured into Jody and I over the years. Some of you don't know the story of my church. It was planted by a fellow from Calgary, came and planted the church, and inside of 2 years, God grew it in a really phenomenal way, but then he had a moral failure and had to step down, and we were not connected to any other churches, and we were toying with the idea of closing down the church, but Lifelink stepped in and said, if you'll keep the church going every other week, we'll send somebody, a different pastor, every week from a different Lifelinks church in order to keep Connect Church going. And it's very odd that God said, Frank, you're in charge of the greeting team and a drama teacher. You can fake it. Why don't you lead every other week? And now to see all that God has done in the last, this is going to be our 20th year this year at Connect Church. To see all that God has done is extremely humbling. I love seeing the beautiful way that this church expresses generational blessing. It is so key, so important, so awesome. You need to continue to invest there. I had the great opportunity to share a lot of amazing stories with your youth and young adults over the last couple of days, and my heart was to get up here and to share a few more of those exciting, dynamic, those crazy stories that you go, oh wow, God is on the move, oh wow, this is so cool. And then in time, my time of prayer, God gave me a very different message. And so if you want to hear, I mean, there have been some amazing things that God has done in my life. 8 years ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. The doctors were saying it is not looking good for you. I got a radical healing and I'm only here as a result of God's mercy. It is an amazing story. And if you weren't here for Rise, then I recommend you go back and actually listen to that story, because God is so phenomenal inside of it. But this morning, I thought I would share just something a little bit different. One of the joys of being on the apostolic team is sometimes you have to come and give a bit of an apostolic message. I don't like it. Turn to somebody beside you and say, just so you know, he doesn't like this either. But I really believe that God wants to do some change here this morning. I'm excited to be here. I love the vision of this church. Live your call. Turn to somebody and say, live your call. How many of you know that in order to live your call, you actually have to be able to hear? Yes? My wife, it's really humble for me traveling without my wife, because Jody is a gift. And usually the first thing that people say is, hi, Frank, I'm really glad you're here. Where's Jody? And so she's watching at home. I love you, baby. I miss you. I have a son as well, Alexander, who is 20 years old. He works at the church with me as well in homeless outreach. And a daughter, Eve, who's going to be coming here in January. You guys better take darn good care of her. I love her greatly. She's coming to do the education program here. But we do have to listen. It's really important that we have to listen. Jody always tells me that I have two faults. I don't listen and some other thing. And I'm really sorry for all of you folks watching online here this morning. I learned during COVID that people would laugh at my jokes when they were in person, but they wouldn't laugh at my jokes when they were watching online. And I asked my family why this was, and they said it was because I wasn't remotely funny. And so I apologize. You're just going to have to follow along. One time, friend of mine, a buddy of mine, was having trouble keeping a job, and his best friend got him a job at the local Canadian Tire in Cranbrook. And this guy was a bit of a goofball. He was somebody who loved to have a ton of fun, but didn't necessarily love to do a lot of work. I don't know if you've met those people before. Anyways, he was working there for some time, and as 3 months probationary time was coming to an end, and the manager asked to pull him in, and this guy kind of felt the weight of that because he knew he'd kind of been maybe slacking off just a little bit too much, and the manager pulled him into the office and looked him in the eyes. He could tell that the manager wasn't really that happy. And the boss, he wasn't sure if the manager was going to invite him to employment elsewhere. But instead the manager sat him down and he said, "You know what? Your effort here just isn't good enough." "It's not. I know it. I think you know it too. And we're going to give you a 30-day warning. And at the end of the month, we're going to review your performance and make a decision about what it is that your future looks like here at the company." And then looked him in the eye and said, "You need to turn things around." I think anyone would agree that the boss was being more than fair, that there comes a time in everybody's life when ultimately the buck has to stop here, where second chances can't continue to go on forever. Ultimately, there must be a day of reckoning. And I was that goofy kid. And the 30-day timeline was enough for me to make me realize that maybe I need to shift. Maybe I need to change a little bit, that ultimately second chances can't come forever and there must be a day of reckoning for me too. And I needed to start doing my life in a way where I recognized that my time and energy actually mattered. Jesus talked a little bit about this in Luke 13, about the need to change direction and go the right way before it's too late. Lord God, as we dig into your word here, I ask that you would make it come alive in us, that you would speak to us through it. Would you give us a revelation of what it is that you have for us here this morning? We desperately want to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, I feel like I'm supposed to share a very short parable with you this morning. Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. And he went to look for fruit on it, but he didn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." And that's it. That's the whole parable. It's where it ends. Kind of on a cliffhanger. I hate cliffhangers. So what's going on here? Figs are kind of a weird fruit. We don't get a lot of them. We don't see them very much here in Canada. Figs don't ripen off of the tree, and so therefore they have to be picked when they're ripe. And then by the time they're shipped over in a shipping container to get over here to Canada, they're usually rotten. So we don't actually see a lot of really fresh figs here in Canada. But how many of you guys know that cultural context is important when you're reading the Bible? Raise your hand if you know this. If you don't, just realize that that's the case from now on. Okay? Figs were symbolic of Israel itself. It often symbolized the health of a nation, both spiritually and physically. In fact, the prophet Hosea, when speaking for God, says, "When I found Israel, it was like finding grapes in the desert. When I saw your ancestors, it was like seeing early fruit on the fig trees." Just so excited. And later, the Bible tells us of the glorious time when Judah and Israel lived in safety, every man under his vine and his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. It was considered a sign of success to be under the shade of your fig tree, enjoying the fruit of your labor. But then later, in three other separate occasions in both the book of Joel and Habakkuk and Haggai, when Israel would turn away from loving God and loving others, then the fig trees would be stripped bare and be fruitless. It's almost as if a multiplying fig was something of a barometer of the health of the nation, a gauge of the spiritual health that was going on there. Now, this story in its context for what it is that we're reading today, the 3 years in today's parable represent the 3 years that John the Baptist and Jesus ministered as they preached repentance to the people of Israel. And John the Baptist warned that the axe was ready at the base of the tree. He told them to bring the fruit of their hearts to Jesus. But the Jewish people were offended at the idea that they needed to repent, especially the extra religious ones. Why would God want me to repent? Jesus was telling Israel the time was short. What does this mean for us today? As mentioned in the context in which he spoke, Jesus was talking to Israel, but he wasn't speaking exclusively to Israel. I believe that he is speaking to this church and us individually here today. Will you just turn to somebody right now and say, "This is a parable for you"? No, I see you. You haven't done it yet. I'm looking right at you. And it is a call for each one of us to live out our call. A call to evaluate our lives, to have a sane understanding of where it is that we're at and what it is that we're doing. This parable tells us in a very no-nonsense kind of way that we have to get our priorities straight and be about what it is that the gardener is about. Be about what it is that matters most. And it tells us how it is that we need to go about it. First of all, God expects us to be fruitful. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God expects us to be fruitful. He expects us to be productive, to bloom and produce where it is that we've been planted. For 3 years, this tree has produced no fruit. So the man ordered it to be removed. A fig tree has one purpose and one purpose only. Turn to somebody beside you and say, "Figs make figs." That's what it is that they do. Figs make figs. That's the purpose. Grow figs. And ideally, if conditions are right, in fact, one of those figs might fall to the ground and that fig might actually produce a tree that makes more figs. Multiplication. Love it. When a fig tree wakes up in the morning, it doesn't have to go, "I don't know what I'm going to do today. The options are so many. I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe I'll make figs." And that's what it does. If it's a proper fig tree, doing what it is that it's called to do, it makes figs. This leads us to the second truth, and this is the best news that you're going to hear all day. The gardener is on your side. Other translations say the caretaker or the vine dresser. Basically, he's the one in charge of the plants in the vineyard, and he gives them what it is that they need in order to grow, in order to produce fruit. When the owner of the vineyard says, "Chop down the tree," this man is the one who speaks up and says, "Sir, leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it. I'll fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Who in this parable does the gardener represent? The answer is always the same. Come on, people. It's Jesus. Jesus is the gardener of our souls. He constantly prunes away whatever isn't working out for us because he loves us and cares for us. And he's constantly encouraging and challenging us and adjusting us to be more fruitful. And he's always working on our behalf. I love the image that this presents of Jesus. He's saying to the owner of the vineyard, in effect, let me take care of this tree. Give it one more chance. I'll look after it. I'm going to make it my special project. I'm going to give it every opportunity to be fruitful. Just give it one more chance. See, Jesus is on our side. He's for you. He wants this for you. 1 John says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Thank God. Advocate's another word for a lawyer or a defender. When you've been lazy, when you've been distracted, when you've been doing something that you shouldn't do, when you've been getting involved in things that are distractions rather than kingdom things, when you haven't been seeking first the kingdom of God above all else, thank goodness Jesus is our defender, sitting on the right hand of the Father. Oh, he gives us undeserved favor. He gives us grace. Amen. But we can't miss the warning that's here either. The Bible is absolutely clear. God the Father is not mocked. The owner is upset because the fig tree had the appearance of producing figs and produced none. It had taken on the name of fig tree, but it didn't produce figs. It looked good on the outside. Looked like a fig, talked like a fig, walked like a fig tree. But something on the inside just wasn't firing properly, which was causing it to be barren of the goods. If you clicked off for a second, now is the time to click back on. Can I gently challenge you, lovingly? God is not interested in deceivers who take on the name disciple of Jesus and do not produce disciples. They take on the name Christian, but they're not reproducing Christians around them. They look like they're fruitful. They look like they're being faithful, but they're not partnering with him to do the kingdom work that he challenged us with at the very end of go and make disciples. Go, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey. You know, 8 years ago, I almost died of cancer. God saved me for some reason. Oftentimes, I have to ask why. I have a little bit of survivor's guilt because people who were sitting in the chair next to me during my cancer journey, who had only stage 3 version of the cancer that I had, they died. I got a miracle, they didn't. And at the end of that, God so impressed on my heart, Frank, you have to get to the work of making disciples. You have to. If you don't spend the rest of your days doing what it is that I created you to do, you will have missed out on your call. And I'm here to tell you guys this morning, it is your call too. We are not guaranteed another day. I shifted my mindset from one that focuses on the fruit that my life will produce to one where my hope was for the fruit that my fruit would produce. Does that make sense? What if my greatest fruit would grow on other people's trees? And that should be our mindset as well. What if you intentionally discipled those around you to be even more fruitful than you were? What if I committed myself to making disciples that made disciples? Let's practice this right now. Let's get practical for a second. Will you just pull out your phone for me right now? We'll just do a simple exercise. It's going to be easy probably for most of you. Just bring up a note or something that you can write down. Here's what I would like you to do. Because we know that the Great Commission is for us to go and make disciples, what I'd like you to do right down is just write down, you know, Jesus made 12, and he only came out with 11 at the end of it, so he was perfect. Probably not expecting you to make 12. But why don't you just write down the three names of the people that you are currently discipling? Your children don't count. Do you need to disciple them? Absolutely. In the parable of the talents, you were given three talents. Oh, what a gift you were given. But if you just came back with three talents at the end of it, it wouldn't go well for you. Who are the three spiritual children that you're discipling? You just write their names down for me. Why aren't you, some of you, still writing? Now, take it a step further. Write down the nine names of the three people that they're discipling. Jesus is clear that if we want to be fruitful, we must abide. We must daily, regularly allow him into our hearts to do the work that needs to be happening. He is the source of all life. He is the source of all wisdom. He is the source of all understanding. And I get it. Sometimes it's difficult to know how to make disciples. What am I supposed to do? The great news is he desperately wants to teach you what that is. Stay connected to him. Abide in him. He will give you wisdom on how to do it. But at the end of this parable, it kind of ends on a bit of a cliffhanger, which helps us realize how the story ends is up to us. The gardener says, if it bears fruit, fine. If not, then cut it down. If someone wanted to become fruitful in this Christian life, what would they do? How would you go about it? How would you do what Israel didn't do? It begins with repentance. That's what the parable is about. It's important to understand that repentance is not a one-time event. It's a regular activity that we engage in. Why? Because God loves us enough to not leave us the way that we are. He loves us, but man, he wants to produce something really cool in us. And it starts with us repenting and saying, God, I am so sorry. I have been so distracted. I haven't been making disciples. Will you please forgive me? I want to go the right way. I want to turn away from the sin that trapped me yesterday, be forgiven, and live into the fullness of your grace so that I, like it says in Ephesians, might even become the fullness of Christ. You begin with repentance, and then you draw near to the gardener. Draw near to Jesus. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Do this as you start your day. Do this throughout your day. Desperately throughout your day, Jesus, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. Please, Jesus, help. And put yourself in positions where you do desperately need Jesus. Disciple making is a great spot where you're going to desperately need Jesus because people are messy. Draw near to Jesus and then get to the work and the business of your Father. Focus on the fig. The fig tree had one job, grow figs. What's your job as a disciple? Amen, sister. She's following along. Are you guys with her? Make disciples. Ask yourselves each morning, what is the important, Christ-honoring thing that I am going to do today to make disciples? Each and every morning should be on your list. What is the Christ-honoring thing that I am going to do today to make disciples? Man, I want to be a faithful fig tree. I was really thankful for my boss who lovingly did the work of confronting me, of challenging me to be better, to produce. He helped me change. I eventually became a manager at Canadian Tire, was cited on and put on the Canadian Tire Wall of Winners in Ontario. I got to tell you, it's not an accolade I was looking for. But there is one accolade that I do desperately want to hear. That time where I come before the giver of life the one who saved me, the one who gives me one more breath. And he has given me something, a challenge, an encouragement. Go and make disciples. And I want to hear when I get there as a result of how my fruitfulness has created more fruitfulness. I desperately long to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. My fear is that there might be people in here who won't hear that. God gave you 3 talents and you're going to come back to him with 3 talents. I don't like what he said to that guy. When I was in Uganda recently, at our most recent ministry time, we'd been doing some ministry to street children, which was beautiful and lovely. We'd been doing a medical outreach to an island, which was wonderful, beautiful island, beautiful people. I've saw about 30 or 40 people come to faith. It was amazing. We were just about to go into a time of ministering to pastors and leaders from all over Uganda, ministering to network leaders and pastors, coming together to be unified. It was beautiful in this one area in western Uganda. It was the first time that all of the churches from multi-denominations would get together inside of 10 years. And I was so honored to be a part of it. But I felt like there was something at the back of my neck, and I couldn't describe it. There was just something going on at the back of my neck after we left the island. And I was frustrated. I was feeling a little bit sore in the back of my neck, and I didn't know what it is that it was. I was angry about it. I was feeling a little bit confused and daunted. I was feeling a little bit, I don't know, like there was this haze going on over the top of my head, and I couldn't figure it out. And we were trying to plan for what it is that we were going to do the next day as we ministered to all of these leaders who had come from long distances in order to hear me speak. And I was feeling frustrated and angry, and I felt like I couldn't really focus on what was going on. And my team was gathered. There were 17 of us gathered around a table, and I said, "Guys, I just need you to pray for me. I'm feeling really like bent down. I don't know what this is." I put my head on the table, and it was like all of a sudden, thump. The back of my head, it was like a sledgehammer was laid onto the back of my head, and I was literally shaking, trying to not let my head ram through the table. And I am freaking out because I've never experienced anything like this before in my life. It's like there was something pushing on the back of my head, and I can't figure it out. And my team's like, they're like, "What is going on with Frank? Holy cow, what is happening here?" And they're laying hands on me, and they're speaking words of goodness over me. And my wife is prophesying over me. And it's still like I'm shaking, and I'm literally grabbing my hair, trying to stop it from my head from being bashed in. And then all of a sudden, one of the people who came on the trip with us screams at the top of our lungs, "Satan, get out!" And I'm like, thump. I'm a little dazed and confused. I don't really know what it is that's going on. Jody's like, "Frank, I saw a clear picture while we were praying for you. A witch doctor had thrown an arrow into the back of your neck. I've never experienced anything like this before in my life." And we're praying. I'm still just, my son is looking at me. He's looking at me with compassion. But then he gets this steely look in his face, and he looks at me and he says, "Dad, you need to go to the garden and pray right now." My son doesn't normally speak to me that way. But he's like, "Dad, you need to go to the garden and pray right now. Leave us. We're going to keep praying and figure out what we'll do tomorrow. You go pray." I walk to the garden. And I'm confused. I don't fully understand what it is that's happened. I'm walking in the garden and trying to figure out what it is that God is up to. Why did you let this happen? What is it that's going on here? I'm walking back and forth, and I'm like looking around, trying to see what it is that God is up to. Turn to somebody beside you and say, this is going to get a little gross. It's not, blame God. I'm walking along, I'm walking through the garden. About 10, 15 minutes, I'm just praying. God, what are you up to? What is going on? And I look down, and all of a sudden he stops me and he says, get this nudge, look down now. And I look, and I'm looking through the grass, and there's something in the grass, and I don't really know what it is that's in the grass. And I move the grass, and I'm like, oh, it looks like a cross. Somebody's dropped their cross. It's a little copper, kind of got wire wrapped around it, copper cross, string coming off of it. And then I look kind of closer at it. I get down and look at it, and I'm like, oh, no. That's an IUD. That's an intrauterine device used in family planning. That's gross. And the Spirit of God just falls on me and says, Frank, in every church that you go into in the next year, you prophesy. The time to multiply is now. God is pulling out the stops. It is time for you to actually get serious about multiplying disciples. He's not messing around. It's time to get back into a phase where it is time to multiply disciples who make disciples who make disciples. We think about it a lot. We talk about it a lot. How are you practically doing it? It is time, church, to start raising up leaders. You have been gifted with a beautiful generational blessing of key leaders. And there were not enough of them here for the Rise Conference. But man, what God is going to do with them. There is such promise. There is such hope. Are you discipling these people? Are you making sure that they're rising up to be the leaders who God has called to change the next generation? It is time to get serious about multiplying disciples. I love you. God loves you. But the axe is hanging. I believe that this church is coming into a year of preparation. That God is going to do some amazing, radical things as you begin to get to the work of the Father. And it's going to start with you creating time and space to be connected to God on the regular. You need to pray like you've never prayed before. You have to read the Word like you've never read before. You need to be obedient like you've never been obedient before. God is going to speak in ways that are more clear than he's ever spoken before to you. His expectation is that you will partner with him in the kingdom work that he wants to do here in Regina and around the world. But each person needs to be listening. I felt like this is going to be harsh, and I love you guys, but I felt like I needed to speak to our new Canadians specifically. You know that God sent you here as a missionary to Canada. He sent you. We need what it is that you have carried here. He has sent you here as a missionary to Canada, but you have become distracted with the loving goal of sending money back home, with the loving goal of getting acclimatized to Canadian culture, with the loving goal of insert distraction here. But our primary call, the reason that God sent you here, was to make disciples who would make disciples. And the parable of the talents is super clear. He's not just talking about your kids. Get back to making disciples. And finally, be a disciple that gets to the work that God has given you specifically. It is time for you to remember what it is that your spiritual gifts are again, and you need to amplify those and use those for the kingdom work that God has called you to. It is time for you to remember what your motivational gifts are. God put them in you. He created you to use them for a dynamic work. Do you even remember what they are? Are you operating in them? God has gifted you. He has prepared you. He has brought you here to this place, in this space, at this time, for a very specific reason. And your giftings, talents, and abilities, they give you the map work. They give you the framework for how it is that you're supposed to minister. Are you operating in those? It is time, church. It is time to get real. We are losing ground. And God is not pleased. It is time. Make disciples again. It's key. He's going to help you with it. He's got great plans for you. It's going to be a dynamic, exciting ride. For those of you who get on board, it is going to be so much fun. We are going to see so many miracles. We're already beginning to see them happening in Cranbrook. We are seeing things as we are getting on track with what it is that God is up to. We're seeing demons manifest regularly inside of our church again. It is time. When you are tracking with where it is that God wants you to go, the demons will flee. It's time again. Amen? I want to invite the keys up. I was supposed to do that 5 minutes ago, but I missed it. I thought that we would have a time. We had this beautiful time with the youth. It was, man, there is so much promise there, you guys. They're going to do such cool things. There's a humility in them that is just causing God to draw close to them. I saw it all over our youth, where they are just desperately seeking God and needing God to help them. I wonder if you guys are in the same headspace as they are. Maybe when I asked you to make a list, you had a really hard time coming up with a few names of people who you were discipling, and maybe even had a harder time of coming up with the names of the names, the people who your disciples are discipling. But I wonder if, like the call to Israel, there needs to be just a moment, a very sweet moment, where you repent and you ask God to forgive you for getting distracted by good things, getting distracted by spiritual things, getting distracted by kingdom things. But you haven't been doing your primary thing, disciples. It's time to make disciples. You haven't been doing your primary thing, children of God. Produce children of God. It's time for a people who feel insecure and feel ill-equipped to actually dig into what it is that God the Father has for you. Dig into the vine, get connected to the vine, and position yourself in a place where you will desperately need him. And there is no better place that you'll desperately need him than in the work of making disciples, where spiritual mothers and fathers will rise up again. Spiritual mothers and fathers who actually are willing to put in the time and effort involved in making disciples that make disciples. And I don't know what repentance looks like for you. Maybe it's bowing your head. Maybe it's getting on your knees. Maybe it's tearing your clothes. Okay, be careful with that. That's a little bit old school, but God, will you please forgive us for breaking your heart and getting distracted, for being something that looks like a disciple and talks like a disciple, but there's just been something misfiring inside and we're not producing disciples. Please forgive us for getting distracted. Please forgive us for making excuses. Please forgive us for being busy. They're all good things that you've sent our way, but are they the God thing? Lord God, will you give us a wisdom? Will you give us a fire? Will you give us an understanding? Will you give us a clarity on who it is that we're called to disciple and how it is that we're called to disciple them? God, help us not get distracted. Help us not become unfocused. We desperately need you, God, to be able to do this. If we're going to make an impact in this world, and if our children are going to make an impact in this world, and if our spiritual children are going to make an impact in this world, then we must get to this. We desperately need you, God. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just stay in this space for a moment. Praying before service, I had my hand on Frank. I didn't pray out loud, but I had a picture in my mind of a wood splitter. There was a log lodged in it, and the pressure of the hydraulic was starting to squeeze. It was that moment when you knew it was about to get real. Splitting of the log is the start of the provision. It's going to sustain a house through the winter, keep things warm and cozy.
It's good.
Maybe we're in a moment like that right now, and it feels a bit like a cracking. But cracking precedes creating, and breaking comes ahead of birthing, and suffering is often the lead up to the offering. So, Father, we don't fear conviction from you. We don't fear repentance. This is how loving children interact with a good father. So thank you that you are one that corrects us when we need it. Thank you that you are one that disciplines us. Thank you that you are one so deeply invested in our welfare and the welfare of all creation that you address us when things need addressing. We don't fear your voice, Lord. You are thoroughly good. Thank you that you love us and that you desire so deeply to partner with us. That you call us, and then you call us, and then you call us. And we're hearing you, Lord. And we love you, and we seek you, and we trust you this morning. Thank you that you are our good Father. Bless your servant Frank, the ones he loves, the church he leads, the names that are on his list. Would you give him wisdom and grace on how to make disciples in those lives? And would you give us wisdom and grace on how to live as agents of light right where we are? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we thank our friend Frank for being here? Bless you, friend. I think those keys can just continue as they are. But if you're done in this room, here's a few things you might look after. If you have kids in class, parents, don't leave without them. If you are new to Harvest City Church, we were told there is a table straight out that door. Someone would love to meet you and learn a little bit more about you. Jenny reminds me that there is a rack of merchandise and clothing out there related to our Rise conference. And if you'd like to support that effort and have some cool new threads in your closet, you should stop there as well. Bless you, friends. To the ones online, thank you for tuning in. We pray you've been blessed right where you are.
Hey everyone, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We hope you enjoyed it and found something that spoke to you or blessed you in some way. That really is the heart of Harvest City Church, that you'd take what you've heard, learned, or experienced here, and then go out and share that good news with others. So go ahead and post this video to your page, start conversations, and who knows the lives that God could transform through it. If we can support you in some way in this season, please let us know. Maybe you've decided to dedicate your life fully to Jesus. We want to hear about it and celebrate with you and help you in those first steps. Connecting in to share the joys and the struggles of life is why we're here. Finding community is super important too, so if you're wondering about any of our programs for kids, youth, or adults, Just reach out to us by phone or at the link below and we'll be in touch. To all of those who are partnering financially with us, thank you for your investment into the kingdom of God. It allows us to do what he's calling us to and reach even more people. For more info on that, go over to harvestconnect.ca/give. If you haven't already, be sure to check out our live stream chat area at harvestconnect.ca/live. It's a great place for interaction, commenting, prayer with our online hosts, and more. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our social pages and all that good stuff too. Take care, keep living your call, and we'll see you again real soon.